All right, beloved, so thankful for your attendance today. We've got an urgent prayer time necessary at this time. Less than an hour ago, there was a horrific shooting at a church in a town in Texas, a Christian church. I don't know the denomination. It doesn't matter. Folks, we need to pray. 27 dead so far. 24 wounded. A madman opened fire inside a church in Texas less than an hour ago. Father in heaven, we come before your presence today and we thank you for the opportunity to hold service at this church. And oh God, our hearts go out to our brethren down in Texas. Oh Lord, these poor folks were just slaughtered by a madman, oh God. Perhaps a terrorist, we don't know yet. We don't know the details. It doesn't matter. But I thank you, Lord, for these ones that were killed. Father, I thank you that the majority of them are with you in heaven at this moment. And Lord God, for those 24 that have been wounded and hospitalized, we pray for their speedy recovery. Lord God, we pray that in Jesus' name you would heal them and allow them to go on living for thee, oh God. We pray for the pastor of that church, probably dead, we don't know. But we know, dear Lord, that you're in control. We know that these are the last days. We know that we'll probably see more horrendous, absolutely horrific events taking place in this Laodicean church age. Lord, you're allowing divine judgment upon America. We understand that. But, oh God, our hearts go out to these poor ones that have suffered so tragically today. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'd comfort those survivors and their loved ones, their family members at this time, and assure them that Jesus is Lord. We thank you for that today, oh God. We pray you bless our service here as we continue to lift thee up in song and prayer and worship, oh God. We just thank you for this day. Thank you for watching over your people, oh God. And thank you, dear Lord, that when we do come to that final breath on earth, we shall be present with the Lord. What a glorious comfort that is to us who know Jesus Christ. There is no fear for the Christian believer today. We know our future is glorious and we thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing. We pray for souls to be saved as a result of this tragedy in Texas today. Oh God, that your will would be done by it. And Lord, we just thank you ahead of time for all you're going to do in our service here as we continue to worship thee. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved, please open up your hymnals for our final hymn today. I'd ask you to open up with me to hymn 84. Hymn 84. Don't you just love him today? Yes, indeed, church, he is worthy. We're going to sing hymn 84, the first, second, and the fourth. I'd ask you to remain standing as we worship the King. Hymn 84, we'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth. Yes.
My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, thou, if ever I love thee, my Jesus is now.
I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love holy, my Jesus, 'tis now in mansions of glory and endless delight.
Think about it, church. Please be seated, church. Good singing today. And many things about tomorrow I do not understand, but I know that it is well in my Father's house, and that's enough for me. Many things we do not understand, beloved, like this horrific attack in Texas at a church this morning. But we can confidently say God is on the throne. God is in control. We'll understand it better by and by, the hymn said, and we shall. We'll understand it all perfectly when we get up yonder to be with our glorious Lord. Well, good testimonies today, good prayer requests, good singing, good prayers. And at this time, I'd ask you to grab your Bible and open it to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms today. Find your way over to chapter 89. Psalm 89. We shall sing again. In Psalm 89, as you know, this is one of the most glorious of the messianic prophetic psalms concerning the second person of the Godhead and what he would do for the world one day. It's prophetic, of course, because David wrote it some 1,000 years B.C. And look what we read here. It is not my intent today to preach on the messianic implications of Psalm 89. We have the Davidic covenant contained in this chapter, as it is in 2 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Chronicles chapter 17. The Davidic covenant is an eternal covenant with the house of David that the Son of God would fulfill, and he will sit on the throne of David forever, glory to God, ruling the universe as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. However, in the meantime, it is my intent to preach a message from Psalm 89 today that is a bit more practical for us in our Christian lives. Look with me in, we'll stand for the reading of God's holy word. We're looking at Psalm 89. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7. Verse number 7 we read, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thine hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. I want to speak to your beloved today, a message I've entitled, Reverencing God. Reverencing God. Father in heaven, how we thank you for the passage before us today. Oh God, such glorious things are spoken of thee. And I thank you particularly for verse 18. The Holy One of Israel is our strength. The Lord himself is our King. Father, we just ask you to bless your holy word today. Lord, I feel your presence today. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit indwelling us, blessing us, anointing us for service, oh God. And Lord, our hearts are broken today over the bloodshed of our brothers and sisters in Texas in that church. But Lord, we thank you at the same time that you're ruling and reigning. Nothing in this world occurs without your divine permission. We thank you for that today, Lord. That's why the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Lord, I thank you that because we know Jesus, no matter how dark the tunnel may get, no matter how difficult the road may be, we can lift our eyes up on high and rejoice, for the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Lord, today as we speak from Psalm 89, on reverencing you, O God, I pray that you would touch hearts all around the world, whether they be here in the church today or listening around the world via the web. Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. O God, that you would have your will and way in each of our lives. And Lord, that we may learn while we still have breath to reverence you, O God, like we've never reverenced you before, to stand in awe of your majesty. Lord, bless your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Beloved, I ask you to look with me at verse number 7 once again in my introduction. Look at verse number 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Reverence. Now, folks, listen to me. Reverence, what is reverence? Well, according to Daniel Webster, reverence is the act of adoration. It's esteeming a person or object to be of great value. The Hebrew word used here in verse 7 is yareh. Yareh, it means to stand in awe of, to be awed by, to fear, to reverence, to honor, to respect. Oh, folks, where is the reverence for God today? I'm here to tell you, church, I'm so thankful for this church that you fear God, you stand in awe of Him, you love Jesus Christ with all your heart, because it's not that way in every church. Folks, I'm here to tell you today that even God's people are losing the reverence of God that is due to Him. Now, most commentators think that in verse 7, the psalmist is only referring to a heavenly scene, with the angels being the holy ones or saints mentioned here. Look at verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Folks, I'm here to tell you that, look at it, finish the verse, the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. Now, in one sense, the theologians are correct. The angels are included in verse 7, no doubt. They are about him. The seraphim sing his praises. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is and was and is to come. Glory to God. They sing, they worship him. But folks, look at the first part of the verse. The assembly of the saints is the church. That's you and I. And it says, we are to hold him in great reverence. For who he is. Because of who he is. Because of who he is. But listen to me. If God is to be reverenced by all those that are about him, that would also apply to those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We are about him because we are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God, and that God dwelleth in you, and you're not your own? Listen, folks. We are about Him because He is in us. Amen. Now, here in Psalm 9, in verses 7 through 18, I find five specific reasons why Christians should reverence God. Five incredible characteristics of God that should absolutely constrain the believer to reverence Him. Five reasons. The first is this. Let me give them to you. First of all, we should reverence God because He is strong. Amen? He is strong. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, oh, that water's good, thank you. O Lord God of hosts, who is the strong Lord like unto thee? David asked a question. Who's as strong as God? Notice there's no answer given, because the answer is obvious. None. Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Drop down to verse 9. Thou rulest. How many of you knows God rules? He's sovereign. He's reigning, though the heathen don't know it yet. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. He controls all of the creation that He made. Look at verse 10. It gets better. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Now, we'll talk about that in a minute. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. Notice the last three words of verse 10. Thy strong arm. The arm of the Lord is the second person. Look at verse 11. I'm sorry, drop down to 13. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. That's the second person. Notice how many times he uses the word strong to describe God. Why? Because nobody is stronger than God. Amen? Aren't you glad that your God, who indwells you, is stronger than any personage in all of eternity? Does that include the devil? Yep. Does that include the demons? Yep. Does that include the angels? Yep. It includes all entities in all of time. He's stronger than them all. What do you have to fear, my beloved? Look at verse 9. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. He rules all. Notice that, the sea, picturing the world. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Did you hear that? In verse 9, David declares that when you have storms in your life, God brings them to a calm outcome. Amen? Because you belong to Him. Beloved, there are at least two times in the Bible when God stilled the raging of the sea. First, when God parted the Red Sea so the children of Israel could go across on dry ground, He parted that thing. Secondly, when Jesus Christ stood up in that boat on the Sea of Galilee and He calmed the sea in the midst of a great storm. Remember that? He stills the raging of the sea. But folks, Jesus still calms the raging seas of our anxieties today, if we just but let Him. He is strong enough to give us peace through any difficulty. Why? He's stronger than any. Look at verse 10, something else. Verse 10, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Now, Rahab is a term used to refer to Egypt in Scripture. Rahab always points to Egypt, okay? Herbert Locklear says that Rahab means pride and arrogance. That's what the word means. Now, remember, Egypt was both a proud nation and arrogantly rebellious against God's commands through Moses. Remember that? But God is stronger than Rahab. Look at it, verse 10. Thou hast broken Rahab. Pharaoh learned the hard way that God was stronger than he. But the same sea that God restrained to protect the Israelites was the very same sea that was unleashed on Pharaoh and his army to their own destruction. Why? He controls the seas. Just think now, church. No enemy of God can stand against his strength. Did you hear what I said? I mean, we could take an altar call right now. That's enough for me. Even Satan himself is no match for God. In fact, he is doomed to defeat. And he knows it. He knows what the Bible says. Now look at verse 13. Verse 13. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand. And high is thy right hand. Observe here, church, that God is pictured with a mighty arm, a strong hand, and a powerful right hand. You don't want to catch a right hook from God. People talk about Conor McGregor, you know, the great UFC fighter. I'll tell you what, he's no match for God. None can stand before him. A certain reference to Messiah here, the second person, is that right hand of God. Look at that in verse 13. He's strong. Your Savior's so strong. Our problem is we don't remember how strong God is when we worship him. We also don't remember how strong God is when we face troubles. We forget. He's stronger than my problem. Go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Hold your place in Psalms and flip forward past Isaiah to Jeremiah. Just before Ezekiel, go to Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at this verse. These verses clearly display how strong he is. In chapter 32 of Jeremiah, look with me at verse 16. Buckle your seatbelts. Verse 16, now when I had... This is God speaking, right? Through the prophet. Jeremiah says, now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Are you listening, church? There's nothing in your life that is too hard for God to take care of. I'm so thankful. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings, which has set signs and wonders where? In the land of Egypt, Rahab, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and has made thee a name as at this day, and has brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand, there it is again, and with a stretched out arm and with great terror, and has given them this land, which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Beloved, Jeremiah the prophet understood how strong God was. And the first reason for you and I reverencing God today is because he is stronger than any. But secondly, back to our text, Psalm 89. Why should we reverence him? Secondly, we should reverence God because he owns everything. He owns everything. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, we read, the heavens are thine. I love it. The earth also is thine. And, oh, you know, these guys talk about their big bank account and their big fancy Maserati in the garage, and they got this big yacht. They say, mine. It's not yours. You're a fool. It all belongs to him. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Now, folks, listen to me. In verse number 11, the psalmist by the Holy Ghost declares plainly that the heavens, those atmospheric heavens, the secondary heavens, the third heaven, it all belongs to God. It all belongs to Him. The earth also is His. As for the world and the fullness thereof, Thou hast founded them. He made them. Brethren, how much should we worship God because He owns all the stars, all the planets, all the galaxies, all the universe? How much more should we worship God because He owns the whole world in which we live? But church, listen to me. God particularly owns the Christian believer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flip there quickly. Hold your place in Psalms. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, God owns me. God owns you. The Bible could not be any clearer on this particular point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look with me at verse 19. What? That's a question with an exclamation point. Amen? Paul is aghast. What? He says, know ye not? Don't you know that your body is, present tense, the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Wow. You know what Paul just said? He said, you don't belong to you. You belong to someone else. Somebody else purchased you. Verse 20. For ye are bought. You've been bought and paid for, Christian. You are owned by God. Look at it. Ye are bought with a price. We all know what that price was. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns you. That couldn't be any clearer. Now, look at Psalm 89 again. Turn back to our text and look at verse 12. Psalm 89. Look with me at verse 12 now. Verse 12 says, the north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Now, listen carefully. The north and the south, the east and the west, that covers everything. He owns it all. But notice the wording, Tabor and Hermon. What are those? Tabor and Hermon were two great mountains, one east and one west of Israel, in Israel. So God is saying that everything going east, everything going west, look at verse 12, everything going north and everything going south, that's all four points of the compass, was created by Him. Therefore, He owns it all. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and He owns the hills. We should reverence Him because He owns everything. Amen? God owns everything, including you and me. But thirdly, why should we reverence Him? Thirdly, we should reverence God because of His character. There's no character like the character of God. I love it. Verse 14. Look at it. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now, folks, listen very carefully. Two things demand our attention here in verse 14. First, notice the word justice. Justice. This means, the word means righteousness. Amen? God is righteous in all His ways. You know what that means? You can't blame God for anything. You can't accuse God of wrongdoing ever. Wow. God is righteous in all His ways. Now listen, this means that He can always be counted on to do what is right. Do you understand that? That God is always right in everything He does? He's the only personage in eternity that is. And because God is righteous, His judgments are eternally accurate. Notice the second word. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Saying that's where God lives. God lives in justice. God lives with His judgment. Now, the word judgment, when the wicked are judged at the great white throne, they will be judged righteously, according to Revelation 20, verse 12, 11 through 15. When you and I are judged at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged righteously. Amen? He never makes a mistake. He never says, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You realize God has never had to apologize? God has never had to correct Himself? God is a perfect eternal being. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hold your place again. 2 Corinthians Look at this. He's righteous in all that he does. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks of the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, which you and I will appear before. It's not the great white throne. They're spelt different. Look at verse number 10. For we, Paul is speaking to who? Christians. Thank you. For we must all Christians, appear. You got a court date. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice who the judge is. Jesus Christ. That everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, folks, university preaches, you know, these fear tactics. Oh, God's going to put a giant screen, movie screen, and put all the sins you ever committed in your life before the universe. That's nonsense. That's not what it's saying. We'll be judged for our motives in our service to the Lord, and we'll receive rewards for that service, or we'll lose rewards that we could have gotten. It's just that simple. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. That judgment seat of Christ is done in perfect righteousness, like everything he does. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. What time? Keep reading. Until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He says, don't you judge people, because your judgment is not righteous as God's is. He says, wait for the time to come. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe. Some men's sins go beforehand under judgment. Others are open beforehand. I'm ad-libbing. You know, some guy, you know what their sin is. Others you find out at the great white throne. Now, folks, I'm so glad that there is a balance with God. Go back to Psalm 89 and look at this. There is a balance with God. He's not all fire and brimstone, judgment. Listen, he's a God of balance. There is a righteous judgment, indeed. And it will be righteous for him to cast them into a lake of fire forever, the Bible says. But part of God's character in his balance is also mercy and truth. Or may we use the words love and faithfulness. Look at the end of verse 14. Verse 14. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Now, for all those who love Jesus Christ, for all those who know Jesus Christ as their Savior from sin, we get, look at it, we get mercy and truth. We don't get divine judgment. You see that? We get mercy and truth, though we deserve every bit of the lake of fire as those who will go there. We receive mercy because we receive His truth. I'm so thankful for that. Thirdly, why should we reverence God? Because of His character. It's one of divine righteousness. Fourthly, why should we reverence God? Because fourthly, we should reverence God because of the joy that He brings. Back to Psalm 89, look at verse 15. Blessed! How many knows what the Hebrew word means there for blessed? What's it mean? Blessed. It means happy. Happy and joyful. That's what it means. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now, indeed, church, the Christians who know the joyful sound of worship are happy people indeed. The Christians who know the joyful sound of worship don't just worship with the congregation on Sunday. No, they worship God continually, daily, nightly. They worship Him all the time. Look at Psalm 89, verse 16. In thy name shall they rejoice on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. No. On Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. No. All the day. Look it. If you're saved, You're rejoicing in Jesus Christ all the time, is what he's saying. And in thy righteousness. Notice the last part of verse 16. Why are you going to heaven? Not because of your righteousness. You have none of your own. You've got righteousness by imputation. Because of thy righteousness, they shall be exalted. Oh, that is so good. It's a gift. The gift of God. Righteousness. Look at this now. Because of the joy within that he brings, we rejoice in him all the time. Now, folks, I'm not saying that you're going to have a smile on your face all day long. I'm not saying that you're going to be Mr. Perfect, Mrs. Perfect, and, you know, rejoice all the time. I'm saying in your heart of hearts, deep down within, nobody's going to rob you of the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 5. Think of the joy that Jesus gives in your life. And think of your life before you met him. How miserable you were. Ephesians 5, look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying rejoice in the Lord. And again he says rejoice in Philippians 4. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm so thankful that he cannot rob just before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at it. Verse 15. He gives me a joy that none else can give. And verse 15. By him, Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He's saying, give thanks to God for this joy of Jesus that you have received personally. It's a wonderful thing. We need to reverence him because of the joy he gives. Notice, please, church, that if you reverence God enough to worship God, God's smile will be upon you. It says, look at it. Go back to Psalm 89. Look at it. And look with me at verse 16. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Verse 15. O Lord, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. You know what that means? That means wherever you go, whatever you do, the light of God is with you, beaming, emanating from your innermost being. The Holy Spirit is shining through. What a joy! And what a great reason to reverence him because of the great joy he gives. Okay, we've seen four incredible reasons to reverence him, but I got one more for you and I'll be done. Fifthly, we should reverence God because of his help. Because of his help. Beloved, look with me at verse 17. Don't miss this. Verse 17. Why are they going to boast in his name? Why are they going to rejoice all day long? 17. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. Now, listen very carefully in closing, church. I am so thankful that the psalmist in verse 17 pinpoints the location of our strength and the reason for our joy. Beloved, what true strength we have, let me make a statement. It comes from God. Any power, any ability that you have, that I have, it's from God. Listen, without God, I couldn't take my next breath. Go to Psalm 27. Holding your place again, we're coming back to Psalm 89. In Psalm 27, I'm so thankful that the Lord, oh, he's my help. He's my present help in time of trouble. Look at in Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Okay, this is a believer. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? David says, I have nothing to fear because God is my strength. God is my life and God is my light. Now go back to Psalm 89 and look at verse 17 again. For thou art, notice the present possessive tense, thou art the glory of my strength. Now, folks, listen very carefully. The last part of verse 17 says, and in thy favor, time out, church, you are favored, divinely favored by God over the lost world out there. What? That's right. Why? Because you have entered into an everlasting covenant with him by receiving his son. You receive his son, he favors you. You reject his son, guess what? You're in deep trouble. Listen, verse 17. And in thy favor, our horn shall be exalted. Now, our horn shall be exalted. What's that mean? Albert Bond said, and I quote, the horn in scripture is a symbol of power. The meaning here in verse 17 is that their power had been derived from God. Or that all which contributed to their exaltation and honor in the world had been derived from him. Brethren, listen to me. You and I have no strength, no power, no ability in and of ourselves. God's grace is the key. His strength, his spirit is our strength. He is our helper, and he alone. Oh, I'm so thankful that Paul said in Hebrews 13, down around verse 5, the Lord, 6, the Lord is mine helper, and I will not fear what man shall do. But finally, beloved, in closing, look with me at verse 18. You're going to like this. For the Lord is our defense, and the and the Holy One of Israel, our King. Oh me, oh my. What better defense could we ask for than to be personally protected by God himself? Watch carefully in closing today, church. You and I are personally, divinely protected by divine defense by God himself. Look what it said. For the Lord, not an angel, though the angels are great, they're wonderful, not Moses, not Paul, the Lord is our defense. Now, that's not all. Look at the rest of verse 18. And the Holy One of Israel is our King. Now, listen to me in closing. The Holy One of Israel, whenever you see that terminology, that's a title always in Scripture referring directly to the Messiah, the Son of God. Look at what David says concerning him. He, Yeshua HaMashiach, the King of Kings himself, is our great King. He's not just the King of Israel, folks. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of the universe. He's King of your life. Now, people, do you realize what this means? The implication here is simple. In verse 18, Jesus Christ is Lord and King over all his people personally. Do you know that you've entered the kingdom of our Lord Jesus? You have entered his kingdom. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You are in the kingdom of God. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. See, there's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of darkness. The devil is the head of that kingdom and his demons rule. And then there's the kingdom of righteousness, the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now look at it. Look what I wrote here. Jesus Christ is Lord and King over all his people personally. My dearly beloved, if this is not reason enough for you and I to reverence him, nothing else ever could. So I urge you, love him, adore him, serve him, and reverence him. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for these reasons for reverence. Reverencing God. Lord, how I thank you that Jesus Christ is to be revered. He is to be reverenced. He is to be respected. He is to be feared, for he is King of eternity. Lord, I thank you for Psalm 89. And oh Lord, we could go on in this psalm, the glorious things that are spoken of him. Lord, there is no question that you have so arranged eternity that your Son will be the focal point. He alone will be exalted above every other name in eternity. The name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that today. We thank you that you've imparted that understanding spiritually, Holy Spirit, to us. That we know who Jesus Christ is. And until a person comes to the realization of who he is, they cannot be saved. Oh God, I pray today in closing, I pray that as a result of the preaching today of your majesty, that many will come to know Jesus Christ, the Holy One of Israel, as their personal Savior from sin. And oh God, we also pray that you would just intervene and undertake for the poor people of Texas in that church with that horrific terrorist attack today. Lord, 27 precious souls gone into eternity, 24 more injured, wounded, hospitalized. We pray for their speedy recovery, O God, and we pray that as a result of this horrific event, some might be saved. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals. We'll stand for a time of invitation. So thankful today for your being with us in the house of the Lord. I tell you one thing right now, folks. Those terrorists are trying to scare God's people. They're trying to put a fear into God's people's hearts not to go to church. I tell you what, we're going to do church more in these last days. The only thing they're doing is encouraging us to get closer to Jesus. That's all they're doing. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's open up our hymnals to 24, hymn 24. I'm so thankful for that heavenly sunlight that the Lord, we'll sing all three by the way, that the Lord provides for you and I in our daily lives. That's why we walk in the light of his counsel, of his presence. Amen? Yes, indeed. Hymn 24. We'll sing them all.
The light in him is no darkness. Ever I'm walking close to his side. Ever, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding the soul with the glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises. Mine on the third, the bright sunlight, ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing his praises, gladly I'm walking in sunlight, sunlight of love, heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight.
good singing today, church. Let's close with a word of prayer. Thank you for being in God's house. Father, we praise you today. Lord, we praise you and we reverence you. Oh, Lord, my prayer today is that you would bring back the reverence of God to the churches, oh, Lord. In this Laodicean, sickly, spiritually anemic church age, oh God, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would awaken your people. Lord, that you would do a mighty work. Lord, that you would bring a sweeping revival, oh Holy Spirit, before it's too late for America. We need revival desperately, Lord. And I thank you for the remnant of faithful ones that fear God and believe on Jesus Christ today in this nation. Lord, I thank you that we stand for righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that we pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we still worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But, oh God, we're a minority in America today. Oh, Lord, take not away the candlestick from America. We pray that it would begin to burn brighter and brighter until you come. Oh, Lord, we pray it would shine to the ends of the earth with missionaries carrying the gospel to poor lost souls around the globe that need a Savior. Oh, Lord, keep our candlestick burning. Our prayer today, and Lord, help us to love you, honor you, serve you, and reverence you in our daily lives. We pray and ask it all through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen and amen.